Hey everyone, welcome back to this 29th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and with me once again is a sick Ruby.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm sick. No, I'm yeah. I'm good. I've got a Christmas, I don't know, is it a Christmas hangover when there was no booze?
Yeah, I think, well, if it's candy and cold medicine, I think that makes the Christmas hangover.
Yeah, and just pure overindulgence. So.
Yeah, except for sleep. You don't overindulge in sleep.
That's no, I don't, but that's okay. It was a good one, so.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Just got back from a trip to my parents' house and see all my family up near Chicago, and that was a lot of fun. Got to see more than 1 inch of snow, which is always a treat, driving in it. Yeah.
And you managed to get yourself sick, too, so.
Yeah.
We're quite a pair today.
There's going to be a lot of editing in the show, so forgive the... My voice always goes out when I'm sick, and it just at the weirdest times, so yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'll be pasting all that together. That should be a good time.
Yep.
So you had a white Christmas.
Yeah, it snowed here in Tennessee, which is the first time it's ever snowed on Tennessee since 1969, so it's pretty crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But what about you? You've been busy as well?
Oh, man. Well, we traveled, I think I had mentioned this before, we traveled down to Texas to hang out with my sister for a couple days and bring her home for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So we did that. I was out of town all last week, and then we had our white Christmas. Christmas Eve here was cool. It dumped I think they said 5 inches of snow on us on Christmas Eve, and it was beautiful the next morning. So it was very, very nice, but you know what? I'm ready to put my house back together now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And find homes for all the gifts.
Yep, that's a good thing. You know, holidays are always fun, but it's 2 weeks of it, essentially. You know, you get to the point where you're like, yeah, I just want to get back to normal now.
Yeah, well, we were driving home. We spent yesterday with the family. We went over to my parents' house early in the morning, and then we kind of ricocheted back and forth between there and my husband's parents' house and spent, I think, 14 hours with the family. And on the way home, my husband was like, so we can take the tree down in the morning, right? And I went, yes, please.
Awesome.
So it was a good Christmas. And you've still got a little bit coming up, don't you?
Yeah. Still.
Well, you've still got the good part coming up.
Yeah. Still celebrating. A little belated, but yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So Guild Wars.
Yes. As we promised, we would have one more show before the end of the year. And that's what we're doing here. This is the day after Christmas when we're recording this, and it's funny because, you know, we usually record on Fridays, but that was Christmas Eve, and then yesterday was Christmas, and so we've been pretty busy, but I think you all will forgive us, right? I mean...
Pretty please.
Yeah. No, I think most people are probably pretty busy anyway, I would say, so here we are with our episode, and what we're going to do is we have, you know, there's a little bit of news here and there, nothing too crazy. There is a pretty good announcement, though, that we wanted to talk about. And then we have about 7 or 8 emails to read, if we can get through those. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, we were talking about Christmas, and I think this was pretty cool. This isn't really newsy, but they had a Christmas card. They sent out Christmas cards to some people, and they do this every year, they meaning ArenaNet, of course. And this year they sent out one that was pretty special because they actually wrote a blog post about how it was created. And you said that there was a member of the Massively Guild, Media Master 9000, which he's written in a few times to us, too. And so we know he's listening. And and he scanned in this card that ArenaNet sent him, and it was this picture of not what you would expect as, you know, digital art, which, you know, they deal with every day. But they actually went out to – now, this was Jamie Jang. She's a concept artist, and she created real – stockings, like Christmas stockings, and a real wood plaque that says Happy Holidays, and she hung all the stockings up, and each one is for the characters, kind of those iconic characters that we get in the books, like Logan, Ritlock, Zolja, Ear, and Kaith, and made one stocking for each one, and it is the most adorable thing that you will ever see.
Oh my gosh, like, I bet died from cute.
It's so, like, there's like, it's made out of, well, the blog post that she made describes how she made it, and basically, you know, scouring craft stores for every little, you know, scrap of this and that to put together and make like these little characters on the stockings, and it's incredible because you look at it and you're like, she actually made all this. Like, she went through and she cut all this out and made the little characters, and it's just incredible.
It was really, really cool.
Now, this this blog post is on the main ArenaNet blog, right?
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah, so you can go, and we'll link that in the show notes. It'll be something you can go back and read. But I just wanted to mention it because I thought it was really cool that, you know, I mean, they did put it on the blog post to kind of get it out there, but it's not something that they would, you know, it's not like a big news piece or anything. It's not something that you would announce or anything like that, but I think it's still cool that that she took her time out to do this. I think that's really incredible.
Yeah, and I love, see, I know it's not a huge news thing, but I love this little stuff like this that just, and it's just the commitment and how much fun they're having with it that I love.
Yeah, so that's very, very cool. Yeah. And for Media Master 9000, save that card. I mean, that's going to be, they probably signed it, I imagine. I got one in, I think, 2005, maybe it was 2006, yeah, because it has a Nightfall Dervish on the front with a Santa hat. And they signed it inside. So, I mean, it's one of those things that you want to just save forever. You know what I mean? It's like never lose that.
Well, he scanned both sides, and it had a ton of signatures on it.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
So you got one in 2006?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got to start. You know what? I've never gotten one. I got to start comparing you two and figuring out, hey, what do they have in common that got them a card?
Oh, well, it was probably, I mean, back then it was, you know, Guildcast. And just, you know, having the only podcast, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also a fan site back then. We're not listed fan site now. But I don't know. I mean, he might be. Does he run a blog or anything?
No. And we were actually, he was talking about it. He's in the Guild Wars Guild. He's in the Massively Guild. Mm-hmm. And we were all talking about it in the guild, and people were asking him questions. I mean, people were just peppering him with questions. Well, have you submitted a support ticket? Did you do this where they might get your address? Did you do this? Because you could see everybody was like waiting to go do whatever it was he did.
Oh, yeah.
And get a card. But he was serious. He was like, I can't think of anything I would have done.
Oh, wow. That's cool, though.
Yeah. Like, so random. It's just random little thanks to fans here and there.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was very neat.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the news then. We have a couple little things here. And this first one I wanted to talk about was, it's pretty big. It's the new book. Now, of course, we talked about Ghosts of Ascalon, which was the first in the trilogy of books between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2. And we, I read the book, and we had an interview with Jeff Grubb, and I gave my impressions of it and everything. Well, this new one, kind of it surprised us, I guess you could say. And it's called Edge of Destiny. Now, we knew that the title was Edge of Destiny because they announced that earlier, and it's by J. Robert King. So we knew that this was happening. But all of a sudden, I think it was, last week, they just said, oh, here you go, it's released. And
yeah.
And we have the first chapter on, was it on Amazon or was it on the Guild Wars site? I forgot.
I can't remember. This actually happened, if I am not mistaken, while I'm out of town.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of town.
Yeah, exactly. We were both out of town, and we were like IMing each other, like, hey, did you see that? But it's funny that it just kind of came out like that. And so we haven't had a chance to read it, but we will, you know, once we get the book and we get it all set. Did you get the book at all?
You know what? I actually did buy it.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
I'm about 100 pages in. I was reading it yesterday. I told you we were going back and forth between the different parents' house. We're in the car, and I'm like reading it as fast as I can while we're in the car.
Well, no, that's cool, though. So, I mean, we will have probably next show we can talk about it a little bit more. And, you know, you can give your impressions on it and everything. And, I mean, do you like it so far? Is it?
So far, I like it even better than Ghosts of Ascalon.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, this, of course, is it's like a prequel to Ghosts of Ascalon, right?
Crud, I mean, you're asking me this at like 8 in the morning, and I can't.
Well, that's what they said. They said it was actually taking place before, like 5 years before, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe it was 5 years before Guild Wars 2 starts. I don't know. Either way, I think it's a prequel to Ghosts of Ascalon. And we actually, we talked about that because I remember us speculating, like, how are they going to... actually it is, because I think Ghosts of Ascalon was 1 year before, so this is 5 years before, so it's, 4 years before Ghosts of Ascalon. So, and we were speculating, like, how are they going to do this if there's just 1 year, they're going to, you know, pack it all in there, and then I think we were saying, well, maybe they'll do prequels, and that's exactly what it is. I can't wait to talk about it, because I really like these books, and I love the idea. I mean, they announced it at PAX in, like, 2008, I think, that they were going to do the books. And it was exciting, because I love to read. You love to read, and I think most people love to read.
Hope so.
You know, yeah, and maybe they don't. That's why they're listening to a podcast. I don't.
Well, then we'll tell you all about it later.
Yeah, exactly. That will be the trade-off there. But then they actually got an interview. Jeff Grubb did an interview with J. Robert King to talk about the book and talk about how it was created and things like that. And they put that up on the ArenaNet blog as well. So that's something that if you're interested in knowing the history behind the book, a little bit more into the book before you actually buy it, then you can go check out that interview. It's really exciting.
I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. It's very, very cool so far, and we're getting a good look at these five characters in Edge of Destiny, or in Destiny's Edge.
Yeah. Well, Destiny's Edge is the
girl band.
Yeah, the girl band that the Misfits from. No, that's Jem.
Jem.
Edge of Destiny is the book name, but Destiny's Edge is the name of the little group. So it's a very important little guild. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more. Now, what I'm excited, though, too, is we still have the third one to look forward to. And if you kind of pace these out, now, I guess they released the first one. They released Ghost of Ascalon, when was that? I guess it was earlier in the year. During the summer?
It was during the summer, yeah.
Yeah. So, a couple months in between each one. And, if they stay on the schedule, which, they don't have to, but if they did, we'd have a couple more months till that. And then it would be okay, now we're ready for Guild Wars 2. we're ready for it to launch now.
Yes, please.
So, yeah, good times. Go read that interview. You can learn more about the book. Then they have the whole first chapter right there. They have links to it on the blog page. So you can read the whole first chapter and kind of tell if it's something you want to, get yourself into. Also, let's see what else we have. The big one. I guess the big news that I'm excited about. It's not a lot of news, but it's important.
Yes.
That, of course, is Martin Kirstein, who we had on the show last time during the interview. He tweeted and said something about in January we can look forward to another class reveal.
He tweeted it too?
Oh, did he put it on Facebook?
Well, I saw it on Guild Wars 2 Guru.
Oh, okay, yeah. What I heard was he tweeted it, and that's where Guild Wars...
He probably did, too. Just spread the torture a little farther.
if we're getting this... Now, he didn't say when in January, but I think it was kind of like after the holidays, the holiday craze is over, we have another class reveal. So what's funny is, every show we speculate on the next class, and that's kind of our shtick at this point. But Kill 10 Rats, Ravius did a great post kind of detailing what we know now and, what we can expect next, kind of like if you would go in order of what they've been revealing, and based on kind of what we've seen in concept art, things like that. It's a really great post where he breaks it all down. And I can't help but notice, he said that it'll probably be a Mesmer, but then he also mentioned some other ones. I didn't read that far because I just stuck on Mesmer and I was just yes, Mesmer. So, I don't know. I'm still sticking by Mesmer. I still think that's it. Although, like we've said before, if they reveal Mesmer at this point, what are we going to talk about?
The show's over then.
Yeah.
So they'll probably, they'll probably save that till the day before launch. At which point you will have just died.
Yeah. It'll be like the hour before launch. They'll be like, okay, we're getting ready. Oh, by the way, the Mesmer's coming out too. Oh. And then I'll be like, yes.
Yeah. There'll be just lots of screaming.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited, though. I think every time we know that these reveals are coming, we attack the NCSoft PR and we're like, please let us know.
Please tell us something, anything.
Yeah, but it's always exciting. We've had a lot of speculation. A lot of people who have written in speculating to us, giving their own ideas. We've read a lot of those on the show. And I always, my favorite part of this is kind of going back and looking to see what people have speculated and predicted and saying, hey, that part was actually right. This person got that right or here and there. So I always find that it's especially exciting. It's like this, it's like its own launch day. You know what I mean?
It is.
All that hype is built up, amongst ourselves, it's not really them doing it, but we're building it up ourselves. And then it comes out and we're like, yes, Yeah, I was right on this part.
Huge thing. Yeah, it is. Well, it's the closest we're going to get to anything resembling launch at this point. I mean, that is, classes or professions are the biggest news that we've got right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I think the biggest fun in that is, you know, trying to determine what you're going to play on launch. Now, to me, it's easy because I'm going to play everything. So, I mean, I'm going to make one of everything. Although, man, one race and class, I wonder what the mathematical equation on that is. Like every
40.
Class, 40.
I already did the math just to see how long it would be before I talk to you again.
40. I'll have to make 40 alts. Wow, that's going to, wow.
It's going to be expensive. It's going to suck for you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to make some sacrifices. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Like eating and sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what do you think about the class thing? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I do, and just from the little I've read of the new book has kind of made me wonder, because you know how we got the Necro before, and there was a Necro in the book. And yeah. Do you remember that? They were talking about the Silvari Necromancer in Ghosts of Ascalon. Yeah. Well, Logan Thackeray is trapping, and I don't know, that may be a ranger.
Yeah, they've said rangers have trapping.
But the way that they phrased it just seemed, it was a little bit different. So I'm not sure. It's just kind of making me wonder if they're going the same route with that as they were with the Necromancer, like little hints here and there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Well, I would like to see another caster class just because that's what I favor.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have tried not to frustrate myself by doing the math and saying, okay, well, according to this, this, and this, and the phase of the moon, we're due for a melee class.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm actually, I agree with you, where I don't think that they would be that predictable, you know, because that is pretty, I don't know, it's pretty, like, cut and dry, and everything that doesn't really seem that cut and dry with it. I mean, for a while there, they were releasing new information on, like, Wednesdays, and then they were like, well, I guess people are starting to guess, so let's do it on Thursdays, and then they would be, like, Mondays and Fridays, and, like, you know, they'd kind of mix it up a lot. So
they're keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, and so you mentioned also about the Ghosts of Ascalon thing. They specifically named Necromancer and Mesmer in Ghosts of Ascalon. Necromancer was soon after that. Actually, I think that was the reveal. Was that the reveal?
That
after
was the reveal.
Book? Yeah, but was that right? I think because what happened was Colin Johansson mentioned it at PAX, and but it wasn't the official reveal yet. So that was like not too long after the book came out, and so I think that was kind of the first reveal after. So maybe I don't know. I mean, I'd be curious to see what else they say in Edge of Destiny. If they do specifically name another class. I mean, you know, I always thought Logan looked kind of like a paladin a little bit. You know, he's heavily armored. He might just be like a warrior type, but
yeah.
I don't know.
But he's certainly not dressed like a ranger.
Yeah, yeah. Very heavily armored.
Yeah. So I don't know. And it may just be because this has been such a busy month. But I have found myself more this round sitting back and just watching to see what they're going to do rather than trying to guess in advance, which I guess is less interesting to talk about.
Well, I can understand that. It's like not wanting to think about what you got for Christmas, just waiting and opening it up right then.
Yeah, I'm not shaking the presents.
Yeah, you're not tearing the edges off and taping them back on.
Not this, anyway.
Well, like on Kill 10 Rats, the three main ones that he talks about on here are the Mesmer, the Assassin, and the Blue Macy Lady.
The Blue Mace Lady, oh yeah.
And, you know, the Mesmer, I think it's a given. I mean, in the concept art, we see kind of this purplish, you know, I don't know how to describe it. You know, like really elegantly dressed, you know, what we would expect from a Mesmer.
Right.
Then the Assassin is the one that's like a blackish kind of a concept art, and the person is down really low with two swords.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Mace Lady is the one where it's like a, you know, bluish, and then it has this lady who's like heavily armored, but she has a mace in her hand. And I think she has a shield, too. And that's the one where people are saying that, yeah, it's got to be, you know, like a paladin thing. And that's the one we speculated as well. And this, you know, I love Kill 10 Rats so much, and I always talk about it, but he really breaks it down really well in, like, kind of bullet points, and he says, this is why this, and this is why this. I'm not going to get into the entire thing, because I don't think I'd be doing it justice, but I just think that it's important to realize that those are kind of, you know, in all the case that he makes for and against these, that's probably one of those three is the, you know, what's probably going to happen next, you know, because they said that they've already said that there will be three scholars, three adventurers, and two soldiers, mm-hmm. you know, so we have, and he also breaks it down saying that they said remaining four professions, at least one is a returning profession, one is similar with a different name, and one is new. That's three. So we have one more that is a complete mystery. So, yeah, I think it's exciting. I mean, hopefully, now next week when we record, it will be like January, you know, the very beginning of January. So they probably won't reveal it then. And then after that, we're having the roundtable thing. So hopefully they wait till after the roundtable thing. Or maybe that could be something we could talk about. I don't know.
You know, if they do wait until after the roundtable thing, that would be great.
Yeah, because then we would have a whole show dedicated to it.
That would be perfect.
To the Mesmer. Yeah.
Okay, so if we could do that, that would be...
Yeah, so Arena, if you could just hold off until... No.
Yeah, that's how they plan their stuff.
Yeah, to us, right? Right. Of course, we're kidding. We're definitely kidding. So I wanted to also read some emails here. We have... about seven or eight, like I said, and I wanted to get through these and talk a little bit about, you know, we can kind of speculate through each one. This first one is, this is from Dark Soul, and he says, well, first of all, Dervish in Guild Wars 2, it's official. You heard it from Sean's mouth first. Ha ha ha. Oh, man. Anyway, more on that point. Why would they devote resources to fixing a Guild Wars 1 class if they weren't at least thinking about how it may or may not fit into Guild Wars 2? Secondly, I'm personally all for the writ in Guild Wars 2, but I think it's unlikely. Next, I love you too, Martin, and I don't know how I feel about potions just yet, as I have not played with them at all. But I don't imagine it will be too bad. After all, these people made Guild Wars. I think that's my last point. I would love to hear some feedback, Dark Soul. Well, okay. So his first point, he says, why would they kind of devote resources to fixing a Guild Wars 1 class if they weren't thinking about it in Guild Wars 2? I imagine that's in reference to the Dervish, like he mentions.
You know, I don't think it has anything to do with Guild Wars 2, because they've said for a long time that they're going to continue to support Guild Wars 1. And the Dervish update is just... This is just how they're continuing to support Guild Wars 1. It's that... It's just part of that they're not letting Guild Wars 1 fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think there's any bearing there.
Yeah, I don't think that they would only update the classes in Guild Wars 1 that they plan to carry over in Guild Wars 2. Right. I think that would be really unfair. So, yeah, I think they're just going down the line and taking care of them. Yeah. But also, I mean, even if they did bring the Dervish into Guild Wars 2 or some form of it, that it is a complete revamp anyway. I mean, they're rebuild. You know, they have a whole new engine. They have a whole new way of doing things in Guild Wars 2, you know, new 250 years later as well. So no matter what they do, even if they bring, you know, let's say the Warrior, they're bringing that straight from Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2, they're still going to have to do a lot of changes to it. So I think it's kind of a moot point when it comes to the carryover part. But like you said, they're still going to support all the classes of Guild Wars 1. So.
Yeah.
Okay, and, oh, sorry.
So that was, my only thought on that is that I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. So the second point here, he says he's all for the writ, but he thinks it's unlikely. Yeah, I really honestly think it's going to be absorbed into another class. I think that
I'm voting Necro.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I just think the mechanic of the stationary pet, you know, kind of the turret kind of a thing, is going to be used at some point in Guild Wars 2. I hope, because I love that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he goes in the potion thing. He doesn't think it'd be that bad. Yeah, I don't want to get into the potion debate again. But
oh my gosh,
we did that to death. But I'm in the same boat. You know, I mean, we've talked about that. But I think it's, you know, if you want to use them, go for it. And even if it's on the cash shop and you have to buy them, you know, I mean, because they've already said that there'll be drops as well. So
right.
I would probably focus on the drops part myself. So we'll see. Okay, so the next email here. This is a nice little, this is from Flower Lissa, talking about subjects for Roundtable. And I still have not emailed Ryan about that. What is my problem? But we have a little while. Actually, I might do that this weekend. I say.
You
now.
Say.
So anyway, she says, "Hi, as promised, I've been thinking about subjects for a Roundtable. Number one, new players in Guild Wars. How to make them welcome, how we can help them with their goals, what they want from veteran players, how we can help them become better team players in regards to all non-puggers who don't like noobs. And then you can get new players and veteran players and get an array of opinions. I'd be a veteran player who officially started playing in December 2005. Yeah, that would be interesting. Kind of a old versus new, you know, how to teach new players this and that. And that's just Guild Wars 1. You know, that's focusing on that. That would definitely be interesting.
You know, it would be very relevant at this point because there are so many new people coming into Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Be timely.
Yeah,
I like definitely. That one.
Yeah, I do too. It would be interesting to have, you know, whenever I think of veteran players, I always think of, like, Loudon, of course, because, you know, he's like the king of veteran players, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be interesting. It would be fun to do, kind of get some new players, old players. So, if that's something you think you'd like to participate in, and that wouldn't be for a while. I mean, it'd be at least a month and a half away, so you have time. But let me know. Just, you know, email me, Sean@guildcast.com. Let me know. And then the second idea she has is, she says, Guild Wars players demographics. You need help from ArenaNet to get a better idea of what they are. You could get people from different demographics and compare play styles. And then she puts as an example, she'd be a woman, 31 years old, back at university to get a master's degree after working for a few years. Yeah, that could be interesting because it would be like, you know, breaking the stereotypes, I guess. There a lot of people think, you know, everybody just hides in their parents' basement and plays MMOs all day, you know, and that's all they do. I think Guild Wars is kind of it's a unique game because you find a lot of people who aren't very hardcore, and then you find people who are very hardcore. You know, it kind of runs the gamut. So, like she said, you know, she is back at school. She's trying to get her master's degree. After, you know, and she's an adult, and she's grown up. And, you know, and then you'll find people who, like we had this with Guildcast, with the original Guildcast community, we would have, you know, 11-year-olds playing and right next to, you know, 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds. And,
uh-huh.
And I think that's interesting. I mean, you find that everywhere. I know some people in, like, World of Warcraft that are like that, you know, and just, you know, playing side-by-side with the different demographics. I think that stuff is interesting, though, too, because it's like, I don't even think we'd need to go to ArenaNet to get this. I don't think they'd actually probably reveal stuff like that anyway, but it seems like that would be interesting just from a Guild Wars community perspective. You know, get the people in the Guild War or the Guildcast community as far as the ages and the, you know, different jobs and things like that. I always find the jobs part the most interesting. You know,
because there's such a variety.
Yeah, exactly. You get people who are like doctors and lawyers, and then you get people who, you know, I don't know, work at McDonald's, I guess, or, you know, any like a minimum wage job or whatever, and they're just playing right next to each other, and, you know, they don't care about what job they do during the day. You know what I mean? They're just, you're the healer now. You're the tank now.
Right.
You know, it's really cool. I like that. So, yeah, I think that would be a really interesting one, kind of get different demographics on the show and talk about, just kind of expose or, you know, let people know that this is, you know, everybody plays this game. Everybody plays MMOs.
I actually really, really like that. We need to do that.
Yeah, that would be cool. So she says, she finishes off and says, I'm curious about what your own subject list is, but I'm sure you'll let us know as you'll be looking for volunteers. Yeah, I'm not going to like let out the whole list because I kind of guard ideas lately because a lot of them get kind of stolen. yeah, so I'm going to kind of keep them until I'm ready to, you know, go down the line for each one and just do it like that. So, but I like these two ideas. I think that they will be ones that we use, I would say.
Yeah.
It could be fun.
I hope we don't see it somewhere else first.
Yeah. Okay, so this next one, this is from Robert, and he says, I've enjoyed your podcast for several months, and I enjoy the format of the show. The only request I have is that you make an effort to clearly distinguish between Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2 when talking about the details of the game. Your transitions are so subtle that it's sometimes hard to know which game you're talking about. Other than this, your show is awesome, and you both are fantastic podcasters. Robert, fan of the show. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we just start talking, and we don't really, you know, we don't have like a script or anything, because it's like, I think we do that a lot, where we'll switch back and forth and be like, yeah, and then this happened, and this and this, and it's, I guess for someone who, you know, maybe new listeners or new players of the game might be a little confused by it. So, yeah, I mean, that's something we can make a conscious effort to improve.
Yeah, we can do that. I liked the nice words too. That was I appreciated that.
Yeah, it's very, very kind to us, which is always appreciated.
Yeah, we do kind of switch back and forth, I don't know, unexpectedly and very quickly and all the time.
And I'm just like that with everything. I mean, I change ideas in the middle of a sentence and what was I talking about?
I forget.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm no help.
We're like both ADD trying to keep on track, and it's just, yeah.
It's interesting.
Okay, so this next email, it says, I like emails that start out like this. So yeah, that idea about a combat got me thinking. Guess you guys have never played D&D. Oh, wait, what? I've played D&D. I played D&D back when it was AD&D, back in the late 80s. Anyway, In it, the monk is more than an Asian monk, and in that, since they focus on hand-to-hand combat with holy damage at higher levels, that could be very cool. They could replace the assassin. Now, wait, didn't we talk about that?
Yep.
Like, specifically?
Yeah.
Because DDO has all the D&D rules.
Well,
so,
that's the thing. I went on and on about the DDO monk and how much I love mine.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we were talking about. And again, you know what? I think that's just a testament to the last email. We kind of go on and on about stuff, and then we change subjects, and it's like I imagine that was probably hard to pick up on, because we do that. Anyway, continuing on with this, it says they could replace the assassin, a hand-to-hand combat class with little to no armor and not so much high damage, but things like trip or poison or bleed effects added to low damage attacks. That's my idea. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I absolutely do love that. And the whole thing with the Guild Wars 1 assassin, it's get in, do your damage, get out. And that's kind of what I would like to see with this sort of monk. That's kind of what I have in mind. You know, you're running, you do your damage, and since you're a low armor class, you get out of the way fast. But that brief time you're in there, you've put the hurt on.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about the acrobatics and getting back out as fast as you can, just like the assassin in Guild Wars 1, where, you know, you use those kind of evasive things after you go in and you do your little combo. I think that if there were one to be absorbed into another class, if they were to make something called a monk, I would say they would definitely absorb the assassin into that. You know, maybe a little bit of the Guild Wars 1 monk in there, the assassin, maybe a little bit of, I don't know, maybe even the writ, you know, some kind of spiritual stuff in there. I don't know. I mean, it's something that we've talked about before as far as the low armor, high damage, or at least medium damage acrobatic character. So, yeah, it would definitely be a possibility.
Yeah, I'd really like to see that.
Yeah. And we have played D&D.
So there.
Okay, so this next one, this is actually from the same guy. This is from Farkas. He says, hey, this is Farkas. So I think you guys get too many emails about Guild Wars Beyond and Guild Wars 2. So here goes. This is funny. Last night I was having this dream. In the dream, I was walking through a post-nuclear war wasteland. In fact, it looked quite a lot like any given area of Stalker. That's a single-player game. I was sneaking around the borders of an enemy camp at night, and all of a sudden, a pit bull comes my way looking at me like I'm his next meal. So how do I respond? Charm animal, of course. It bit at me a couple times, but eventually became my calm, cool companion. I don't want to bore you with the rest, but yeah, everything ended up well in the end. So, so you're having dreams about charm animal on pit bulls. That's fine.
Okay, like, you know who hasn't, though?
Yeah, exactly. Well, who hasn't had a Guild Wars dream?
Oh, actually, my gosh, no kidding.
That would be a nice roundtable discussion.
Ooh.
Guild Wars dreams.
Write it down.
Yep. Okay, let's move on to this next one. It says, "Hey, Guildcasterinos. I've never really listened to podcasts before, but I'm thoroughly looking forward to Guild Wars 2 after having played Guild Wars 1 on and off since it came out. I've just started listening to Guildcast, and I'm now hooked. I'm currently getting myself up to date. It's great to hear people so enthused about the game. I just had a couple of questions, which I know you probably won't be able to answer, but thought they might be good to speculate about. Number one, what will weapon components and inscriptions return for Guild Wars 2? He says, I know that each profession will use a weapon differently, like a ranger and warrior having different skills with a longbow and sword. What I was wondering was whether different weapons of the same class or weapon would have different skills. For example, would an elite longbow have different, not necessarily better, skills when you equip it? Otherwise, if you see a ranger with a longbow, you know half his skills already. I do like the idea of traits and how they will enable you to put different emphasis on your skills. I was also thinking about whether adding a weapon component or inscription would change weapon skills. For example, if you added a component or inscription that gave a weapon cold damage, would that change a warrior's skill to flurry, to snow flurry? Change flurry to snow flurry, which could freeze an opponent. I don't think it's particularly likely, but would be cool in my opinion. And he says, I don't know if that counts as more than two questions. So I guess there are a couple questions in there. Keep up the great work, Terry. It should be a nice, easy one for you to pronounce, Sean. Yes, thank you for that.
Yay.
P.S. I'll be going to America for 6 months in March to hike the Appalachian Trail. Oh, cool. You will be coming along in my iPod to keep me company on days when I haven't seen anyone and it's raining. I'm probably one of the few people who doesn't want it to come out before September, as I will not be able to play it. This would anger me greatly. Yeah, I think you're pretty safe on that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't want to admit that, but...
Yeah. So components and inscriptions. I honestly don't think that they're going to have them in Guild Wars 2 just because of the fact that it would add so many variables to weapon skills.
You know, I'm kind of with you, but I'm also kind of with him because it would be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool, definitely. But it seems like one of those things that, you know, they get... In Guild Wars 1, they got it. To kind of a nightmare situation where they had to constantly balance stuff because people keep finding ways to, kind of make the perfect farming build and things like that, which I love. I'm not dissing that at all. So I think that it would be more of a nightmare to have to, you know, balance everything, every single inscription and the effects that it has on weapon skills. And, you know, I mean, it would be cool, but it would probably be a nightmare for them, so...
It would just, oh my gosh, it would be so much.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm voting no, but that's not official.
Yeah, but how much fun would that be?
Yeah, oh, it would definitely be fun. I like his idea of changing flurry to snow flurry.
Yeah, really cool. Cold damage. So, but now we're getting into sad wishful thinking that probably will never happen.
Yeah. That's definitely true. And then he goes on, like he says about the longbow when... the elite one having different skills than the regular one, and then if you see, like, you see a ranger with a longbow, you know half his skills already, and I think that's a good point. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, who knows what, maybe they'll have skins, you know, like purchasable skins. This would mainly be for PvP anyway, because the monsters won't really care what you're carrying.
They won't know. But... And, you know, that might be able to give too much of a PvP advantage. So, I don't know. And I can see, like, insane weapon swapping.
Yeah.
As you look across the field to see what your opponent is wielding, switch up to accommodate that. He sees what you're doing, and he switches. And you could just stand there and weapon swap all day long.
Yeah, that's for the you know, min-maxers and the meta players. I'm one of those guys who, like, I don't even look at what they're carrying. I just run in there and I'm, you know, doing my stuff, and then somebody kills me in 2 seconds and I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
That's me playing PvP.
And then you go back to making alts.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this last email, this is a kind of a long one. It says, "Greetings and salutations, O wondrous hosts of Guildcast." Hey, I like this one already.
I like this guy.
With Winter's Day flurries and snowball fights arriving in the lands of Tyria, it got me thinking about how the current Guild Wars holidays might change or get new ones over the 250-year gap between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2. I really enjoy the in-game holidays that Guild Wars 1 has, but I realize that the current status quo for Guild Wars holidays wouldn't work in Guild Wars 2. Obviously, we know nothing besides that there will be holidays in Guild Wars 2, but I was wondering what your opinions on how things might change or stay the same between the two games. In other words, prognosticate. Okay. Let's see. Well, he actually goes into this, so I'll read this before we get into our own little thing here. He says, "For one, some of the holidays wouldn't work out lore-wise for all five races. For example, Winter's Day is currently a fight between the human gods. In Guild Wars 2, the human gods have withdrawn, and I doubt that the Char would celebrate them, even if they hadn't. So some holidays will probably be focused on specific racial areas, i.e. Krita for Winter's Day, but be open to and joinable by characters of any of the other races. I can imagine that what used to be celebrated as a human holiday could be transferred to another race. Example, Thanksgiving holidays could become a Savari Nature's Bounty Harvest Festival. I believe having holidays work like this also helps reduce the amount of festive redecorating Arena that would have to do, assuming they do continue to redecorate for holidays. Just redecorating that racial city and possibly Lion's Arch, as it is a big communal city." I just wanted to touch on something here before I continue this email. Again, in LOTRO, I'm going back to LOTRO again for the millionth time, but they do this, you know, they have hobbits and elves and dwarves and humans, and whenever there's a holiday event, they have the main cities in each one decorated out for the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's doable, you know, and I think that doing it that way is actually a lot of fun, because another good thing you can do is they have specific things for each race, like in the dances, they'll have these dances during the summer festival. Actually, I think they do this for other ones too, but if you're, say you're a human or a man in Tolkien's world, you're a man and you can go to the dwarven area and you can get the dwarven dances. You know, you do a dance and then you gain that as an emote. So then now you have that emote as, you know, a dwarven dance. So I think that's just a good example of how you can go around with your character to each city, and it just adds so much more content to be able to go around and get each racial holiday treat.
Oh, absolutely. Now, my curiosity where that lies, though, is what the holiday will actually be. If I'm not mistaken, LOTRO holidays encompass every race, right? It's not one racially specific.
Yeah.
Okay. But we can't really celebrate in Guild Wars 2. I can't see a game-wide event like involving Grenth and Duena, because the Norn could not care less.
Yeah.
So I would love to see some new, I don't know, some big event that will cover all of the races and isn't specific to one. It would be cool if each race had its own little event. You know, if you had some, like, Norn holiday every September, and then you had, like, some Silvari thing in, I don't know, like, May or whatever.
Oh, different dates?
Yeah, but, yeah. My gosh, I can see how that would get so complicated.
Well, okay, so for LOTRO, they have them on the same day, but they are different events. Like, the Dwarven one is like a brewfest kind of a thing, and the Hobbits are celebrating a feast, you know, and, the, you know, the Elves are celebrating bows and arrows, I guess. I don't know. And
so somebody doesn't play an Elf.
Ding, ding. They're on the same day, but they celebrate different things. And I think that would kind of work, but what I think that they might do is probably get away from the gods thing, just because of the fact that, yeah, if you're, you know, you're a Char, you don't want to go over to the human lands and celebrate, you know, stuff like that. I think that would be kind of fair. I mean, they could do it that way, or, like you said, you know, different dates. I mean, they already have, like, the Xingjie Festival, which is kind of Canton.
Yeah.
But anybody can go over there and participate. You know, it's not it's not like, you know, the Alonians are like, I'm not going to the Canton continent, and I'm not doing, you know, it's like...
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, so it's still celebrated by all. So, yeah, I think that they... I'm sure they're going to think of some way to tie it all together and still make them unique for each race.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to see.
Okay, so his email goes on and says, in Guild Wars 2, one of the big things is dynamic events, which I think are great. But how would this affect holiday quests and storylines? Will we find NPCs in cities that take us to instanced areas to do holiday events, or do you think that they might add holiday-themed dynamic events to the world? Maybe the weather system around Divinity's Reach only causes snow to fall during Winter's Day, which then triggers holiday events to start mixing in with regular events. And maybe by doing these events instead of holiday item drops, we get something like the Karma system, where they earn festive cheer that we can turn into holiday NPCs for the rewards that we want. Hey, I like that idea a lot.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it's like a holiday cheer karma thing to build up. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Anyway, sorry for the long email. Hope you guys and all the Guildcast listeners have a happy and safe Winter's Day. Marl. P.S. International Talk Like a Pirate Day just has to be a full-blown holiday for the peoples of Lion's Arch, don't you think?
Oh, yes. That's got my vote, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. That would be awesome. I like this email. I think that, you know, Marl has a lot of great ideas as far as you know, the festive cheer thing, especially. I think that's a great idea. But just, you know, that is something to think about. Sit down and think, how are they going to tackle these events? But again, you know, this game has been in development for years. I'm sure that's something they've already thought about. They're just... you know, if anyone from Arena is listening to this and they're like, you know, chuckling silently to themselves, like, oh, just wait till you see what we have in store for the events, you know.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Hurry, tell us more.
All right, well, that was the last email, so that is pretty much the end of this show. But for next week, it will be, we're probably going to record somewhere around New Year's Day. I don't know for sure exactly when, but so we'll, that first show will come out probably early in 2011. So this is our last show for 2010, unless they do a Mesmer reveal sometime, which they will not, but unless they do it sometime in the next week. But
they should. I would like to see that.
And it'll be like that show I was talking about before where we'll just go, Mesmer reveal, and then that'll be it. That'll be the whole show. But, yeah, so that's basically it for this show. Join us next week as we talk about whatever we feel like.
Right? That sounds like a normal show to me.
You can email us at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We also have Twitter and Facebook pages you should definitely check out. And we have our main page at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. So until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll see you then.